Aye, me again. I'm sure you got bored of hearing me. I thought I'd give you my thoughts on tonight's game against FC Köln. I'm just on my way back now. This isn't going to be so much about the performance. I'll cover that, obviously, because we are going to talk about an Arsenal. It's about an Arsenal match. But first of all, I nearly tweeted this at half. Well, I tried to tweet this at half time, but I had no signal in the ground. Arsenal Football Club were an absolute disgrace tonight. Forget what happened on the pitch. That almost comes secondary. There was fights throughout the ground non-stop. I'm hearing quite a few people, I've just been listening to the radio for a little bit, saying it was good-natured and they don't mind that there was Köln fans everywhere. There was fights non-stop. They have put... Luckily, nothing major happened. But the family section, the family enclosure, was full of Köln fans. So when these people are saying, it was good nature, the German bloke next to me was a lovely bloke, he might have been. But how would you feel if your 14-year-old daughter was in a family section and suddenly she's got a 1,000 Germans, nothing to do with a German, 1,000 away fans, there with flares and not so much flags and banners, but probably language that you don't really, I know they do get exposed to it, but you don't want your kids exposed to that. I think people have got to look at it from other people's perspective rather than just their own. As I said, where I sit, I'm not in the family enclosure, I'm behind the dugouts, but there was fights non-stop. They were booing Arsenal players, they were cheering the Köln goal, as you'd expect, they're Köln fans, but some Arsenal fans didn't take kindly to that, as you can imagine. The club done absolutely nothing to stop it. I don't even know why they bothered delay the kickoff, because they let them all in anyway. So why waste an hour of everyone's time to decide let's let everyone in that maybe has a ticket, hasn't got a ticket? It was ridiculous. There was people openly walking around with Köln shirts, tracksuits, club stuff. Worse than that, I mean, I went to the pub because it was delayed by an hour, and there was people, there was Köln fans, clearly Köln fans, and they'd gone to a shop and brought an Arsenal hoodie or an Arsenal shirt, and they were openly walking down the street. Oh, I've come to see Köln. I don't have a ticket, but because I'm wearing Arsenal gear, they might let me in. I mean, I don't know how many of them got in, but it's just ridiculous. Like, that hour delay done absolutely nothing. If you look at the replay from their goal, the first goal, look behind the goal. That is 100% home. That section is the complete opposite end of the ground to where the away fans should be. And you can see sections of fans jump up to celebrate. Now, the problem with this, as I said, it didn't cause me too much harm. I saw a couple of fights, nothing I was really involved in. But if I take offence to something a German or an away fan says next to me, it gets physical. If that happens, I lose my season ticket for being violent. Whereas they may get ejected out of the ground, but what's it matter to them? I lose something that I've done every week for pretty much my whole adult life. I've spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pounds doing, and they lose the remaining however long of the game. Worse than that, a few fights in the first half around me, they just move people along. So if a fight kicked off and one of the guys was German or a Köln fan, they may not have been German, they didn't kick them out for starting trouble or being involved in a fight. They just moved them around to where the Köln fans were standing, still in the Arsenal end, but where there was like safety in numbers. It was ridiculous. There was a guy came and sat, like, my area is all long-term season ticket holders since the Highbury day, so everyone pretty much, they might not know each other by name, but you know who's generally going to be around you. There was a guy that came and sat behind me after about 10 minutes, and the first thing that happened was a steward ran up to him and went, "Your seat." He not, obviously, the steward knows who should be there. He went, "This ain't your seat, you shouldn't be here." Hang on, there's thousands upon thousands of Germans sitting in the wrong seats, and they pick on the one Arsenal fan. Then this guy said to the steward, "Hang on a minute, I was sitting upstairs in the upper tier, and the steward said to me, if you want to remain safe, go downstairs where the Arsenal fans are. The ratio's better, there's more Arsenal fans down there." So this guy has gone along with his girlfriend to watch an Arsenal match and has been told, "You are not safe to sit in this area in your regular seat." His girlfriend came up to him and said, "I don't feel safe here, can we go home?" How can Arsenal Football Club defend that? And it's not me being a wuss. I don't care if it kicks off. If it happens, it happens. I've been in enough scraps at away games. I'm not saying I'm that kind of guy, but it happens. But you cannot go and sit in the same seat you sit in week in, week out, and the club tell you are not safe here. It is absolutely ridiculous. Like, steward it properly, police the game properly. When I've been hearing on the radio, but the police weren't ready for that amount of numbers. Why not? I knew about it since the draw was made, that it was their first game in Europe for however long. We're also quite a big team. I know the club don't realise it sometimes, but we are. Of course, it was always going to happen. There was always going to be too many people travel. I don't know who is, if it's the club to blame, the police are to blame, but it was not a surprise. And anyone that says, oh, we didn't know it was going to happen, is either an idiot or lying, or they didn't want to spend the money that it would take to police that game. I thought it was going to be called off. With the way they policed it and stewarded it in the end, there was no point even delaying it, because they just delayed it for no reason. They didn't do anything. So it was a weird one, and I feel like luckily nothing kicked off, but the club have put the safety of every single fan in jeopardy tonight. I mean, I heard people moaning, saying I'm done with the club. They clearly don't care about, I mean, a lot of people obviously annoyed about what's going on the pitch, but the amount of people I heard say, look, the club clearly don't care about us. It's all about getting people buying tickets. They don't really care who. There was also no searches, which I find comical. We get searched within an inch of our life usually at the Emirates because of the delayed kickoff, and they were trying to rush everyone in. There was no searches. When you know that there's going to be a heavy number of away fans in amongst where they shouldn't be, you would say search is a priority. We get an email before every game saying, please get there early tonight. There's enhanced searches due to previous attacks on London or previous attacks in England. Fair enough, we all want to be safe. But then to abandon that just because it's a little bit busy on a night where there's more chance of it kicking off than any other, again, I just feel like the club have completely shown a disregard for all fans. And that includes the Colne fans, because had the Arsenal fans turned on them, you can't put 10 of them in a block amongst 2,000 Arsenal fans. Had it turned nasty, there's serious danger. Stewards can't do anything. Even if 10 stewards comes, that's 10 Colne fans, 10 stewards and 2,000 Arsenal fans. What are they meant to do? It was, they bring in riot police to stand amongst the Colne fans, but not at the gates. So it's like they've let them in the stadium and just said, oh, make sure you don't riot once you're inside. If they haven't got tickets, don't let them in. It's as simple as that. I've heard the ground was stormed, that the fans that originally got in rushed the stewards and opened all the fire exits, so some extra fans got in that way. It was just an absolute shambles. Anyway, on to what happened on the pitch. I've heard a lot of moaning and I really don't get it. The only objective tonight was to get 3 points. The performance, 3 points in the group. The performance isn't the be-all and end-all. It doesn't really matter. You want to start off, especially when we knew at half-time the other game was a draw. Like, you want to just get the early lead in the group. And we've done that. First off, we was poor. We was absolutely pathetic. But he made the changes and got the job done. I've seen a lot of people moaning about Maitland-Niles at left wing-back. First of all, I don't really rate Maitland-Niles. I don't really see what he's got. And he's definitely not a left wing-back. But the situation we're currently in is that Nacho is seen as now the left centre-back. It's pretty standard that Nacho is going to play in that position. That leaves us with one wing-back, left wing-back in the squad in Kolasinac. It's his first season in the league. He's not the fittest of blokes anyway. He can't play every minute of every game. So we're going to have to try something. Tonight he experimented with Maitland-Niles. It didn't work. He changed it after half-time, and it changed the game. I know some people love to get on the back at Wenger's back or the club's back for the sake of it, but what do you suggest he do? Waits till Kolasinac gets a long-term injury and then chuck someone in a game that really matters? I would love, actually, please comment on this and tell me what you would have liked him to do. Who would you have wanted him to play there? But don't say Kolasinac, because we're going to play about 50 games this season. At the moment, with Nacho being the left centre-back, Kolasinac is the only left wing-back. He's not going to play all of them 50 games. We have to discover an option there at some point. He's tried Maitland-Niles, it's failed. I dare say in the next round or in the next group game, or against Doncaster next week, he'll try someone else. Or he might think that Maitland-Niles has potential there. He just didn't go for him today and trying him again. But I don't really get the bashing of him for trying something when it's an area we actually do need to experiment in. Beyond that, yeah, I said the first half was very scrappy. Walcott was absolutely awful. Just the whole game, he was a joke, really. But he's always been a player. He takes a while to get, not match fitness, but match sharpness. I think he's going to struggle a lot because he's not going to get the minutes to get him up to match sharpness and to get to the intensity of game. So I think he's going to be a bit of a problem this year. I was shocked with the starting lineup. For me, I would have definitely started Jack. And I definitely would have started Nelson. But I mean, I'm not surprised with the front three. I think he had to give him more minutes. A lot of you will know that listen to me regularly. I'm a huge Olivier Giroud fan. I think he's probably one of the most underrated players in the Premier League. But I have a massive problem with him sulking. If he plays in a game where he doesn't think he should be playing, if he thinks he's beyond it, if he ever plays in the Carling Cup or whatever it's called, Carabao Cup, or if he ever plays in a game like this, instead of going out there and proving I should be in the first team, let me go and score a hat-trick and show them that I should be starting, I'm not just an impact player that comes on for 20 minutes. He does the exact opposite. He just sulks around like, oh, I shouldn't be here. He'd done it a few times in Premier League games last season when he was seen as a sub for about 10 games in a row. And even though he was playing bad, he just couldn't get in the team. But when he did come on, he sulked. It was not like, I'm going to show you that I should be starting ahead of Welbeck or whoever. It was they clearly don't fancy me. I'm just going to stroll around. This is beneath me. And it really annoys me because I really do think he's a good player. And it does nothing to help the reputation that he's got amongst a lot of pundits and quite a lot of fans. Beyond that, I think, I'm not sure because obviously I didn't hear commentary being in the ground, but Holding was clutching at his leg quite a lot in the first half. So I wasn't surprised when he came off. They probably will say it was tactical because we changed shape, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is a little niggle there, because the whole way through the first half, every time he was off the ball, he was clutching at his right leg. So it'd be interesting to see if it was purely tactical. He wasn't having the best game, but I don't think he was worthy of being subbed if it was purely for performance. Elneny, I mean, I've got, again, I'm trying not to be too negative because we got the result we needed. We rested key players. I think on the whole, it's a job well done. But Elneny, I just don't see what he does. He's good against a team. So he was very good in like the Community Shield against Chelsea, where a team that are going to try and attack us, and he can sit behind the ball. He's got a very good engine, so he can use that. My problem is when we're playing and we're going to have a lot of the ball like we did tonight, he makes a lot of runs where it's like he's hiding. It's like he thinks, oh, if I run here, I won't get the ball, so I won't have a lot of responsibility. He'd done it a lot against Leicester, and I pulled him up on it then, obviously on the podcast. But it seems quite common from him, and it's very annoying. I think he's another weird player that is better in big games than he is in small games, but you have to perform in small games to get the chance in the big games. So it's difficult. Hector, I thought, was a lot better again. Well, he was probably as good as he was against Bournemouth. So that's two half-decent games now. In the first half, they just let him be free. He was our outball every time. He didn't do much with it, but he's not an attacking winger. He's not going to go and run at the fullback every time and beat him. He made a few strange decisions, but I mean, that's Hector. But it's a big improvement on what we were seeing on the first few games of the season and the back end of last season. Beyond that, yeah, I think it is what it was. We've definitely done enough to win. I don't think Sanchez was brilliant. I still think he looks a bit heavy. He looks better than he did against Bournemouth, but he's still definitely not up to full fitness, and I'd be very surprised if he starts against Chelsea following that. The goal was outrageous, but it shows the type of player Sanchez is. He probably made three incorrect decisions leading up to that goal. I think he had the fullback one-on-one. He probably should have gone at him, and he didn't. Then there was a ball he could have slipped into Giroud. It would have put him one-on-one, but a hard chance, and you'd think he probably should have done that. And then there was a player on the edge of the box. I'm not sure it was either Iwobi or Maitland-Niles, and he could have slid it to them, and he didn't. So as a defender, you think they must be thinking, oh, he's passed up on three chances. I've got him squared up. I'm all right here. And then he pops it in the top corner from 25 yards. I mean, it's an unbelievable goal. And it shows how hard it can be to defend against him, because he can make the wrong decisions and still do something magical. As I said, that's not a criticism of it. Well, it's a slight criticism of him, maybe. It's hard to call the decisions wrong when he's going to pull it in the top corner. But I think the percentage balls, he missed, as I said, he missed three opportunities. But obviously, well done to him. And again, it's not a criticism. But they gave him the 90 minutes to try and get some sharpness, because that's what he's lacking, and some fitness. They've done that. As I said, I don't think he'll start. Looking ahead to Chelsea, I imagine we will go with the same back five that played against Bournemouth. Obviously, Cech back in goal. It'll be Xhaka and Ramsey. And I think it'll be Ozil, Welbeck and Lacazette, I think, which is the same team that started against Bournemouth. I think he'll go back to that. I want to say this now because it's going to come up. And I put a post out the other day saying, where does Sanchez come into the team? And a lot of you were saying he doesn't because of the for Chelsea, saying he doesn't because of the fitness and stuff. Anyone that said that, remember you said that, because what I don't want to hear, and I'll say this now, I don't think he will start, and I don't think he probably should. I don't want people to come out after the game and go, Wenger's useless, why didn't he play Sanchez? If you're saying now that he shouldn't play Sanchez, and then we lose and he doesn't, you can't dig him out. He's only done what you would have done. It's for that reason I always name my team before the game. I've said this before, because then I can't criticise if he plays something along them lines and we lose, because that's what I would have done. On the other hand, if you're one of them people that's saying he should play Sanchez and he doesn't and we win, then you've got to, surely, by any stretch, you've got to say credit due, he's got it right. If you're sitting there now saying Sanchez shouldn't start and he doesn't and we lose, you've got some grievance. You can say, look, he should have started, he's not started our best player. I said he should have started our best player, he hasn't, we've lost, bad decision. Fair enough, stick by your guns. But you've also got to be man enough to go the other way, that if he doesn't do what you say and we win, you've got to say, you know what, he got it right, pat on the back. Because what I see with a lot of Arsenal fans, and believe it, I've said this many a time, I don't want Wenger to be Arsenal manager. But there's a well-known phrase saying credit where it's due, and that is one thing Arsene Wenger doesn't get. When he does well or picks the right team or picks a winning team, it's, oh, we should have won that, that's what I'd expect him to do. When we lose, it's, oh, Wenger this, Wenger that. You can't have it both ways, or in my opinion, you can't have it both ways. It's similar, I know a lot of people are going to moan if it does start, which I expect it to, with the Xhaka Ramsey partnership. But that partnership won us the FA Cup final and was absolutely magical in that game. It's the same people again saying, oh, we should go back to four at the back. We won't, because we went to Stamford Bridge with four at the back last year and got absolutely dominated. It was 3-1, sorry, we scored with the last kick of the game. It could have been seven. They battered us. It was all them. We changed to a back five. We matched them up in the cup final and actually outperformed them. And I know it's a glorified friendly, but in the Community Shield, we matched them up again and we got a result, albeit on penalties. But we will match them up. It's the only way to play against them there. I'm not confident. I don't think we'll win, but I don't want people to come out after the game, oh, we should have played a back four, when you know that's not going to happen. And the same thing as I said before, if we go back to a back four and lose, people go, oh, why change it? We beat him in a cup final with a back five. I think you need to put it into perspective that he's not going to be right all the time. We are going to lose games, but as I said, stick by your word. If you think that we should play five at the back, say it now and don't moan about it after the game. Anyway, I don't want to end this on a negative note, because we've done the job tonight. We've got to where we wanted to get 3 points. We've got 3 points. We've got no injuries. We've got minutes to the players that needed minutes. So all in all, it's been a pretty good night. So just try and remember that before we start criticising the performance. Football isn't always about performance. At the end of the day, I'd rather 38 useless performances and win the league than 38 brilliant ones but get held to a draw here and there whilst playing really well. So leave any comments or anything you have. I'll try and answer as many questions as I can, or reply to as many comments. So have a good night or a good day wherever you're listening to this, and thanks for listening. I'll speak to you again after Chelsea game. Bye.